This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley of TVWorthWatching.com, sitting in for Terry Gross. Jonathan Franzen's latest novel, Freedom, his first novel since his 2001 bestseller, The Corrections, came out last year with a splash. It was an immediate bestseller and landed Franzen on the cover of Time magazine. The New York Times called it a masterpiece of American fiction. But the launch of the novel had its controversy. People started taking sides, before the book was even published, about whether Franzen and his novel were worthy of all the praise and attention. It was named a Book of the Year by leading papers and magazines throughout the U.S. and in England. Freedom is now out in paperback. In a few minutes, we'll hear the interview Terry recorded last year with Franzen. But first, let's listen back to what our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, had to say about the book when it was first published.
Why all this adulatory attention, critics ask, for Franzen's latest domestic drama about marriage and family? So many terrific contemporary female novelists cover the same terrain, yet their work receives a fraction of the highbrow fanfare that greets Franzen. It's like how men still get praise for doing housework and taking care of their own kids. Any male involvement in the domestic realm still merits applause. All true, and yet even though Franzen gets more praise for doing what many fine women writers do backwards and in heels, in the case of the blandly titled Freedom, it's well deserved. I heretically think Freedom is even more powerful than The Corrections, sections of which I found contrived. Freedom is looser and more revelatory and ambitious. It's the novel by a man, along with novels by women like Allegra Goodman, Lionel Shriver, and the incandescent Sue Miller, that I'd elect to put in a time capsule to give a sense of the texture of middle-class American life to future readers. The husband and wife at the center of scrutiny in Freedom are Walter and Patty Berglund, who meet in college in the 70s. We know that Walter is in for a rough time when we're told at the outset that his most salient quality, besides his love of Patty, was his niceness. Patty, in the opening paragraphs of the novel, is the reigning stay-at-home mom of her gentrified neighborhood in St. Paul, Minnesota, a crafting and cooking queen. But a crack in Patty's chipper, progressive, democratic demeanor soon surfaces when we learn she slashed the tires of a noisy Republican lout who lives next door. Soon all hell breaks loose as the Berglund's adored teenage son Joey literally defects over the fence to live with the neighbor's vacant and sexually voracious daughter. Even worse, Joey will go on to work for shady civilian contractors supplying defective truck parts to the American forces in Iraq. And then there's Walter's best friend from college, Richard Katz, an aging bad boy and lead singer of an indie band called The Traumatics. Richard turns up erratically in the Berglund's life and simply by his very existence reminds Patty that, although she married Walter, she was only, at best, somewhat more than sort of into him. The unspooling of the Berglund's marriage as they become more and more their destined selves is chronicled through a variety of perspectives, including a brutal but often hilarious therapeutic memoir that Patty writes, entitled Mistakes Were Made. One of the great pleasures of reading Franzen's work is savoring how he turns personalities this way and that, so that, for instance, from one angle, Patty is a victim. From another, she's a shrewish and controlling depressive. And all interpretations are somewhat true. Even Richard, who could so easily have devolved into a rock and roll stereotype, is dense and surprising. Because he's a cynic, Richard is also the source of some of the sharpest takes on his friends and the world they live in. Midway through the novel, Richard achieves mid-level fame. Here are his thoughts about a young girl who won't stop bothering him. She was like a walking advertisement of the late model parenting she'd received. You have permission to ask for things. Your offerings, if you're bold enough to make them, will be welcomed by the world. Richard wondered if he'd been this tiring himself at 18, or whether, as it now seemed to him, his anger at the world, his perception of the world as a hostile adversary worthy of his anger, had made him more interesting than these young paragons of self-esteem. There's not one throwaway scene in Freedom, and yet for all that effort, nothing feels overwritten or false. Like the corrections, Freedom celebrates and extends the possibilities of the good old realist novel, at a time when realism is out of fashion, even in autobiography. Franzen makes us skeptical postmoderns believe again, if only for a space, that literature really can and should hold a mirror up to the world.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Jonathan Franzen's novel Freedom, a review we first broadcast last year. The book is now out in paperback.